In tonight's familiar scripture reading, we will hear again the story of how Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem. The prophets had foretold it, and then an amazing thing happened. The promises of God were fulfilled. There was born one whose power and glory surpassed any that Caesar Augustus or any other mortal might claim. The Savior of the world, the incarnation of God, was born not in a royal palace or even in a warm home. Emmanuel, God with us, came into the world as a vulnerable baby born in a stable. And then God sent messengers to share the news of Jesus' birth with shepherds living in the field. Because of their poverty and their place at the margins of life, they were ready to hear the good news of great joy that a Savior had been born to set the world aright. Once they heard the news, they hit the road. The shepherds headed to Bethlehem and showed up right in the midst of the mess and the muck of the manger. And there they saw for themselves the child who made everything new. Let's listen now for the word of God in the story of Christmas that we find in the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Friends, our next hymn is the First Noel. If you are worshiping with us from home, a link to the hymn will drop into the comments. And if you're here in the sanctuary, you will find the hymn in the hymnal in front of you. It's number 179. Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am convinced we need each other more than ever these days. And I think you all know that too. That's one of the things that has been so beautiful for me to witness over the past 22 months. As a church, you have shown up for each other in powerful ways, even during the most uncertain of times. I think of all the virtual coffee hours we had on Zoom, all the midweek prayer services we had on Facebook Live, all the summer gatherings we had here on the lawn. I think of all the worship services I led from my living room. That feels like so long ago, and yet just yesterday at the same time. And then those services that we led from an empty sanctuary, and then from the front steps of the church, and then back in the sanctuary with real live people here. No matter how we gathered for worship, whether in person or online, you all knew how important it was to show up, just like you are showing up tonight. And this fall, as more and more people have made their way back to church in person, it's been beautiful to see how good it is, how much joy there is when we are together. There is something powerful about showing up. And that's what is standing out to me this year in the Christmas story. Remember that after Jesus was born, God sent an angel to share the good news of great joy with shepherds who were keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel told them what had happened, that a Savior had been born in the city of David, and they would find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And then what did those shepherds do? They headed to Bethlehem and showed up right in the midst of the mess and the muck of the manger. And they discovered the promise of Christmas, that the Savior of the world can be born in messy places to unprepared people in the midst of uncertain times. But those shepherds figured out something else too. They discovered another gift, that God shows up in powerful ways when we show up for each other. A woman named Karen Walrond discovered this power at work in her own life in the wake of Hurricane Harvey. As you might remember, Harvey was a devastating Category 4 hurricane that made landfall in Texas and Louisiana in August of 2017. Karen Walrond is a lawyer, a leadership coach, an activist, a photographer, a writer, a wife, a mother. And most importantly for this story, she is also a resident of Houston, Texas. She remembers the days leading up to Hurricane Harvey. Houston was certainly within the cone of uncertainty as forecasters tried to predict where Harvey was going to hit hardest. And for a while, it looked like the city was going to be spared. But when Harvey made landfall, the hurricane took a turn and headed directly for Houston. The city experienced unprecedented amounts of rainfall and horrible levels of flooding. Karen remembers standing in her living room as water started to seep up through the floorboards. But even then, she and her family had no idea the devastation that was to come. They took a few essentials with them when they left their home, expecting that they would be able to return in just a few days. But as the flood waters rose, the reservoirs north of Houston came dangerously close to overflowing and inundating the downtown area of the city. The Army Corps of Engineers was forced to release tons of water from the reservoirs into the surrounding bayous. And Karen's house was near one of those bayous. As Karen says, the Army Corps of Engineers made the right decision. They saved the city. But as floodwaters receded around much of Houston, Karen's house remained underwater for 2 weeks. By the time she and her family were able to return home, everything they had was ruined. They lost everything. And yet, when Karen talks about that time, she says the word that comes to mind for her is not loss, but gratitude. And that's because of the extraordinary ways in which ordinary people showed up for her and for her family. There were the friends who sent them teapots and tea bags because they knew Karen and her family were big tea drinkers. There were people who sent guitar picks for her daughter who loves playing music, and art supplies for her husband who loves to paint. And there were the complete strangers, the volunteers who showed up to help clear out the mess and the muck that was left behind in their home once the floodwaters finally receded. Karen can look back on that awful time in her life with gratitude because of the people who showed up for her. Friends, we need each other. I'm more convinced of that these days than ever before. We need each other. And I believe that is part of God's plan for the world. Just think about the meaning of the name we have for Jesus, the name Emmanuel. It means God is with us, not God is with me. God is with us. God is with us in powerful ways when we show up for each other. Now, I recognize that being together can be a challenge these days. We are still living in the midst of a global pandemic, and we are living in a country that is politically divided, and we are living in communities where people are struggling with hunger and homelessness, with anger and addiction, with debt and depression. Sometimes it feels easier to retreat into ourselves and give in to despair, because there is just so much in the world that is broken. But that was true back in the time Jesus was born too. There was so much in the world then that was broken, and yet God showed up there in the mess and the muck of the world. And then the shepherds, they showed up too, because God calls us to show up for each other even when our lives are really messy and the world seems broken beyond repair. And the promise of Christmas is this: God will keep showing up for us. And God will keep calling us to show up for each other. So I have a challenge for us, but I'm going to use the word invitation because I think that sounds nicer, doesn't it? The invitation is this. Let's remember that Christmas is not just one day. It's actually a whole season. You know, there's the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, right? Well, those are the 12 days after Christmas, the days between Christmas and Epiphany. So contrary to what the world tells us, the Christmas season is not coming to an end tomorrow. It is just beginning. And I wonder what our lives would be like for the next 12 days if we fully embraced the promise of Christmas. What if we fully embraced the gift of Emmanuel, of God with us, by finding ways to show up for each other. Now, I don't want you to literally show up at someone's home unannounced. I think I can speak for introverts everywhere and say that that is our nightmare. But I wonder what it would be like if we used the season of Christmas to reach out to people we know and love so that God can show up in their lives through us. Phone calls, text messages, note cards, visits that are planned ahead, cookie drop-offs, shared meals. I'm talking about small things here, but small things done with great love. There are so many ways that we can show up for each other. And when we do that, God can show up in the world through us. Friends, the promise of Christmas is that God will keep showing up for us. Even when our lives are so very messy and the world seems broken beyond repair, God will keep showing up. And the gift of Christmas is this: God also calls us to show up for each other. So let us give thanks this night for the gift of Jesus, our Emmanuel, the God who is with us, the God who works through us, the God who shows up in powerful ways when we show up for each other. Amen. Now, friends, as we get ready to share the light of Christ with each other, we are going to do that outside so that we can